And now, 88.9 and 96.5 FM WDCR brings you The Cradle and the Convert. Join your hosts, Dave Slade and Mark Barthelemy, for a conversation about local issues with a Catholic perspective.
Good evening, everybody. Mark, how you doing over there?
I'm doing fine. Hey, y'all.
I haven't seen you in a while.
No, I was in sunny Florida for a couple weeks.
Yeah, what was up with that?
Just R&R.
R&R. How about Vicki? How's she doing? We talked about that last week on the show and said some prayers for her. Yep. She had some eye surgery.
Yeah, she's still healing. She's trying to deal with concentric rings in the lenses they implanted. Ew. And each one of them is a little bit different magnification. And so her brain is working with her eyes now, trying to not see the concentric lenses, but to see a picture together.
Well, good. I hope that's comes around for her here.
Yep, she's got an appointment tomorrow for a checkup, so that'll be good.
Cool. Hey, you know, Mark, last week I got to kind of wax in nostalgic
really?
About the old days in Mass when, you know, we didn't have air conditioning. And all we had were these great big fans that mm-hmm. went back and forth. Well, I talked a little about that, but you went to public grade school, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
And I went to St. Patrick's there.
For a while.
But yeah, for a while. Well, that's another whole show.
You got put on waivers. It happens all the time in sports.
I want to tell you a little something different about going to Catholic grade school in the 60s.
All right.
First of all, we went to Mass every morning.
Uh-huh.
Drop-off time for the parents was between 8 and 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
Mass was over at 8:30, and then classes started right at 8:40. But if you were going to receive the Holy Eucharist at Mass as a kid, you had to fast for 3 hours before you could receive.
What?
And so we got to bring our breakfast with us.
Now this is pre-Vatican II?
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And before class started, we go down and have our breakfast.
Okay.
We would stand. Anytime an adult walked in a classroom, the entire class would rise and address that individual as Monsignor Powell or Sister Lucy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We would pause during class if the church bells rang before noon because we knew a funeral was just getting over, and everyone would stop and say a prayer.
That's neat.
On the playground at noon, when the Angelus rang, everybody stopped and prayed the Angelus.
Oh, neat.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, I guess.
Now, here's what wasn't so cool. The pastor would come in at report card time, and he would read each student's report card in their conduct and their effort. And then you would kind of catch an attaboy or uh-oh.
Out loud, you mean?
Out loud.
In front of the whole class.
Yep. On your conduct and effort. They didn't give your scores, your grades on your other classes.
Uh-huh.
Just that you were trying and that you were behaving.
Whew.
Yeah. And in those days, there was two classes of each grade, one taught by a nun.
Mm-hmm.
We had the Ursulines, and one taught by a lay teacher.
Yes.
And every year you switched. So one year you'd have a nun, the next year you'd have a lay. So you could plan out who you were going to have for fourth or fifth grade.
So your knuckles would heal between the steel
and
ruler.
And you worry about,
treatment.
Oh, my gosh, I'm going to have Mother Louise for second grade. You know, she's
yeah.
But, you know, it was a wonderful time. It was a very respectful time. You know, and I think sometimes politeness went away with respect.
Oh, boy.
It's just, I just got to thinking about that, and it's too bad in the schools today, and I don't know how it is in our Catholic schools, if the kids still rise or if they pause when they hear the bells, but I kind of hope they do.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Hey, Mark, I guess you noticed in the studio we have a couple guests with us tonight.
Oh, that's who these people are?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I thought maybe they were auditors or something.
No, it's not the FCC.
Hid my checkbook.
This is Bryn and Brian Kickle, two of Decatur's newest Catholics. Bryn and Brian came into the church at the Easter Vigil this year, and already they're involved in lay ministries.
All right.
I see them at Mass every week. They are a beautiful couple, and we're just glad to have them here. We're going to talk a little about their journey into the faith and their thoughts about being young Catholics. So, Bryn and Brian, welcome.
Yeah, welcome.
Hello.
We're so glad to have you with us.
Glad to be here.
And both very cheery and happy folks. It's, you know, kind of bringing us up a little, huh?
We just can't
help it. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourselves, where you're from, what you do, and just fill us in a little bit on your background.
Sure. I was born and raised in Arthur, Illinois, just southeast of here, a little Amish community. I ended up at, right? Yeah. But I am not Amish. I'm
okay.
not.
Oh, okay.
I get asked all the time.
You didn't
I'm not
escape,
Amish.
Or
no, okay. no, we're all good right. there. But I ended up at Millikan University, where I studied music business.
My alma mater.
Yeah, yeah. I've been working there for the past 5 years, 5 or 6 years, and I've been the audition coordinator for the School of Music for the past three. So
Sweet.
I ended up
so
right back home.
You've seen some real talented musicians
I really
come through there.
Do. It's exciting.
And I'm a local. I grew up in Mount Zion, so I graduated from Mount Zion High School, and then also attended Millikan University. Got a Bachelor's of Science degree in chemistry, which served me well as my job. I work at ADM at the Research Center here in town.
Oh, I went to high school there.
Yeah, so yeah. The old
that was Lakeview.
That, it just exploded one day
when I left. Yeah,
that was it.
But I've been there 10 years working with our food oils support group.
Neat.
And so it's a good, great place to work here in town.
Wow. So you're both converts.
We are
yes.
at the same time.
Wow. Yes. Yes.
How did that come about?
Well, we'll be married. I think it just bears noting we'll be married 10 years and 3 mm-hmm. days.
Congrats.
So we're coming up on our anniversary.
Congrats.
So we're both converts.
Yeah.
Gosh,
yeah.
You guys been married for 10 years?
Yes.
Did you get married when you were like 12 or
exactly.
what? You're very young.
Exactly.
That's what I'm thinking here.
We got married we graduated May of 2006, and I started work full-time, and then we got married in July of that summer. So it was a whirlwind of a summer.
It was a marathon summer.
Yeah,
oh,
I guess.
That's great.
So we actually met when we were in high school at church.
Yes. Okay.
I was
yes.
raised Methodist, but okay. my family ended up at a contemporary evangelical church, a okay. large church community here uh-huh. in Decatur. Mm-hmm. So my family went there for about 13 years, and that's where we met.
Yeah, my family started going to that church. I was in early high school.
Okay.
My family, my faith background, when I was really young, Baptist mm-hmm. church, mm-hmm. and then attended, and actually I was confirmed in the Lutheran church, so through middle school and junior high.
Right.
And in the gaps in between, my family, we were kind of church hoppers. We went to different places. And
trying to find the right spot.
Yeah, right? And the funny thing is, my dad would always joke with my mom. He'd say, well, why don't we try the Catholic church? And she'd kind of... She'd get all bent out of shape, but my dad was always curious. But yeah, we ended up at the same evangelical church here in town.
So that's where we got married.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
And somewhere along the line, we just started to become disillusioned, not edified, not fulfilled at that church.
So yeah, it was an emotional, a lack of an emotional
I think it was a lack of being spiritually fed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, are we talking, just for my sake here, are we talking about the churches that have the big screens and the
rock band church?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
That's what I was wondering if that's
which
because this is quite a switch from that.
It is.
Okay. Yes, and for me being coming out of the Lutheran church where we had communion every mm-hmm. week, and we went, you know, the church would have communion once a month. I was even when we first started going, I was like, what? This is quite a strange change of pace.
Well, now this is interesting because I have to ask this. We are often told that the younger folks are leaving the Catholic Church mm-hmm. and going to the evangelical churches
right.
because of the entertainment, because of the music, the sometimes there's dramas.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
oh,
that
yes.
are portrayed
yes.
to act out the gospel
yep.
or something.
Yep.
They go to be entertained, and,
yep.
and that's what our generation needs to be more engaged. Yeah. Our generation, the younger folks, not
right.
ours, Dave.
Yeah, Mark.
I see you looking around the corner at me. But you had an opposite experience.
I can see where that's fulfilling for a time,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but I can see how people are drawn into that, and that's really appealing. I mean, it's the message of Christ, which...
Sure.
Right.
That's right.
Which that's what people are after. That's the light that
that's
people
right.
are drawn to. And they're drawn into the relationships with other people that fulfill them. But I think once you get to a certain point in that, there's nothing. It's just kind of empty. And
okay.
you're looking for what's on the other side. You're always looking for more.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
It was very driven to draw in people, new people into the church. So
very
people
seeker-friendly.
Yeah, seeker-friendly.
Okay.
And so they're always seeking those that... you know, maybe have not ever heard any of the gospel or anything about Jesus, but that would always then just drop off. It never got deeper or more, I guess, more kind of into the meat and potatoes of
yeah, that's a good way
faith.
To put it. Yeah, mm-hmm. It is. Well, you know, Dave and I had some experience with that because we had a chaplain, a police department chaplain, that actually was an evangelical minister at one of the churches.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did attend a service or two there. And mm-hmm. I had some back surgery a long time ago anyway. The kindergarten class, I think it was, drew me a big poster, you know, mm-hmm. because I was having this, you know, the chaplain had encouraged him and wrote on it, get well, and all this stuff. And I had this big poster, and I was so impressed with this thing. And I said, I want to talk to those kids. So, yeah, sure, come on out. So I did on a Sunday morning and got to talk to them. And yeah, so I stayed for the service. And, you know, there's a lot of clapping and standing, and everybody's, and I'm thinking, whoa. And I didn't know quite. Of course, I'm standing here, you know, in a dress uniform with gold braid all over it and medals and all that stuff, and here I am standing there thinking, what am I supposed to do, you know? I was just thinking I don't know how to act.
Very different experience.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Bryn, what influenced your choice then to look at the Catholic Church?
You know, like anything else in life, and anything God calls you to, it's not a straight line. Mm-hmm. It probably should be, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
I think there were several things along the way. Our first Christmas, actually, that we were married, we came home from me singing at a Christmas Eve, two services, and we watched the midnight Catholic Mass. What church was that?
I think it was
St. Peter's.
One of the churches
in New York.
New York.
I think it was St. Peter's in New York.
Yeah.
So even then, even years ago, there was kind of this curiosity about it.
Mm-hmm.
My best friend from college is Catholic. She never actively evangelized me or recruited me, or we never even really talked about it. But I just always had an awareness that she was Catholic, that she was raised Irish Catholic, that was a thing. So fast forward several years, and just little things would kind of start to crop up. I was on a trip to Seattle, and I sat next to this gentleman who I thought was a white knuckler. He pulled out a rosary. And then I was immediately encouraged, and I said, are you a priest? He said, no, I'm an author. So for 3 hours from Denver to Seattle, we just talked about the Catholic faith.
Wow.
So, I mean, that was just something. I think that was 2013.
Yes.
That God just placed him in my path.
It wasn't Matthew Kelly, was it?
No, Mark Shea is his name, actually. I need to write him a nice letter, actually.
Yeah.
And then along that same time, I started teaching an exercise class, and a young lady who was actually our sponsor, she likes to call herself our godmother, started attending that exercise class. And as we became friends, we started talking about things that are important to friends, and we started talking about the Catholic faith. And I immediately had all these concerns and all of these misconceptions about the Catholic Church. Well, you worship Mary. Well, you worship saints. That's so weird. And she's, no.
Yeah.
So she set me straight, and I went home and told Brian, like, Brian, did you know this about the Catholic Church? And that really just opened our eyes.
Ah. I had no clue, because we'd heard all that, you know, growing up the Protestant, we'd heard all those kinds of misconceptions.
And sure.
You know, you don't know what you don't know. You don't know anything
That's
different.
Exactly right.
At this point, we had been unchurched actively for about 3 years, and we were really feeling a draw. There was just hunger. The love for God and the need for God in our lives, that never left. That never changed inside of us.
No.
It wasn't a loss of faith. It was just kind of misdirected faith. So I said to Brian one evening, well, why don't we just go be crazy Catholics?
Yeah,
I said, why not?
Yeah. So really, I mean, there was... I mean, she comes home
fired up.
Yeah, fired up.
Yeah,
the spirits got into her, and she's burning here and talking in tongues.
Yeah.
So what?
Now, come on.
Was at the previous church, talking in tongues.
Okay. Well, see, I get confused still. I'm old, you know. But what sold you, Brian? Was it her enthusiasm?
Well, for me, it was you know, we would watch Mass on TV or listening. We'd even listening to the radio. I mean, we were listening to WDCR in the car driving around town. Just learning
months before we ever attended Mass.
Wow.
For me personally, it was that the reverence,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
that was one of the things I kind of, for me, my theological base growing up was going through confirmation in the Lutheran Church, and seeing, for me, was, you know, communion was
a
very
lot of
important,
yeah.
And but then seeing that, you know, that reverence and for the sacrament, the Blessed Sacrament,
Even before we had an understanding of what it is.
Yes, yeah.
We noticed, we recognized that it was sacred and the tradition and the reverence. Mm-hmm.
And that was the other big thing, was kind of going back to those on the outside just looks like rituals that people are going through.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But something that's established and been established for 2,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because we came out of a church with the big screens and smoke and bands and things. And it's like, there wasn't even a cross up on the stage.
So as not to offend people or put people off or make people uncomfortable. Right. But if we're Christians, if we are followers of Christ, we should be confronted with that every day. Yeah. That's everything.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, we want to take a real quick break here. And on the other side, we're going to talk about what Brent and Brian think we should do to keep this church alive.
Yep, that's going to be important.
Each day, the world is blessed by the heroic dedication of Holy Catholic priests serving in our parishes and religious orders, in nursing homes and hospitals, and as military chaplains around the world. Since the secular culture is often quick to criticize Catholic priests, it's so important for us to offer our prayers and gratitude for the countless holy Catholic priests who serve humanity with courageous virtue and dedication to Jesus and the gospel. EncouragePriests.org was launched by the Catholic media apostolate CatholicsComeHome.org during the Year for Priests to support our priests and promote vocations. By visiting EncouragePriests.org, you'll be able to help the priests in your life through spiritual bouquets, written or video greetings, and collar-holler e-cards. Let's pray daily for our seminarians, priests, bishops, and our Holy Father who bring us the sacraments and help guide our path to heaven. Thank you for joining us in this apostolic mission of EncouragePriests.org and CatholicsComeHome.org.
Okay, I played that particular piece because our guests were talking about their pastor when they came in this morning and what an influence he's been at their parish. And that's Father John Burnett, who's on vacation this week down in Florida with his brother, who's looking to receive a lung transplant in the very near future. We also have a new priest joining us here in the Decatur Deanery at Mount Zion at Our Lady of the Holy Spirit later this month, and we'll be sure to get him on the show.
Father Steve Arisman.
Yeah. Okay, so back to business here of the day. I want to know a little bit about you guys now are involved in some lay ministries from what I have seen at Mass. And that's a pretty big step for a convert within a year to step up to the ambo and do readings and things. Tell us a little bit about how that happened.
Well, I think we're just the kind of people, we're not afraid to be in front of other people. That's just not something that intimidates us. And we saw that there was a need. We enjoy it. Through the RCIA process, I think we kind of got used to reading and being in front of people in that way.
Yeah.
And of course, Therese Allen is a part of the RCIA process. Mm-hmm. She was she's one of the leaders. We were just kind of encouraged in that way that that was something that we might be able to do.
Mm-hmm. So you're both readers?
We are.
Are you both extraordinary ministers?
Not yet.
Not yet. No. Okay. Is that on the list?
Sure.
Why maybe not? Down the road, why not? I mean.
It was years before I did that. I read, and have still read, but it was a long time before I became an extraordinary.
That's a huge responsibility.
Yeah.
So, Bryn, you could also be a cantor then. Is that
maybe
right?
Eventually.
Yeah.
I think we're planning on joining the choir this fall when they start up again.
We'll
give that a try because during RCA, Therese found out that we could sing.
Uh-huh.
So she was quite excited. And so we're going to give that a shot.
Well, good. And, you know, with some extreme heavy-duty training, I could probably teach you how to be an usher, too.
I don't know. That's pretty cool.
I don't know why we just don't call them collection picker-uppers these days, because nobody has to help find seats. But so I've always found that participating in the Mass makes it a deeper experience for me.
Oh, absolutely.
Whether I'm serving Mass or ushering or whatever, and you have to pay attention. There's no time to drift off because you've got to get up and do your thing. But you guys are both excellent readers.
Thank you.
And, you know, in a big Gothic church like St. Pat's with that echo, that can be pretty tough. So my next question is, as what I would now call young role models in the Catholic Church.
Indeed.
How do
how do we proceed with evangelizing with young people? What would you think?
This is a huge task, and this question, we've kind of been talking about it and meditating on it for a good week now, and it's just, it's huge. So,
the one thing we were talking about, and what drew us to the Catholic Church, is I don't think that the church should change its liturgy. Stay true to the teachings of the church, because that's what's going to draw people, because it's real.
Yes.
Father John, one of the first RCA classes, one of his sayings that he was talking one of the first times, and it stuck with us because he's a convert as well.
Mm-hmm.
And his little illustration is that the whole pie, you know, he's like, in your other churches, you know, you have Jesus, you have the gospel. It's a piece of the pie.
Mm-hmm.
But he said the Catholic Church is that piece, but you get the whole pie. And there's so much more that can be, that can enrich you spiritually.
And I think in saying that, he was saying a lot of Protestant denominations, a lot of offshoots, you're only getting a piece of that pie.
Mm-hmm. So yes,
in that
yes,
context.
Yes, right. Yes, yes, yes.
Well, the current research talks about Gen Xers and millennials as not being real interested in religion. They claim to be spiritual, but mm-hmm. not religious.
Yeah, exactly.
How do we change that? Do you have any idea how? I mean, maybe Catholic radio is a good way, although I don't know if anybody really listens to the radio a whole lot in their cars other than when we're on, Mark.
Yeah.
But
we did.
Yeah, we did.
There you go. Relevant Radio has got great programming all day mm-hmm. long.
Oh, yes.
It does.
And, of course, setting an example. But the one thing that I found is just ask. Just reach out and touch somebody and say,
absolutely.
Have you ever thought about it? Well, it's
kind of like recruiting the vocations. You know, the yeah. priesthood and religious and the sisters.
I think for us, evangelizing is living an honest and a good and a true life and your fruit and the virtues and just being that person everywhere you go, to every task you set your hand to, just being that person of love and of kindness
mm-hmm.
and sharing your faith. We're fired up about being Catholics. We're mm-hmm. fired up about Catholicism. And whenever we have an opportunity to share that with someone, we take that opportunity to do so. It's
good.
I think it's a very personal thing. And I think it's reaching out to people. And as the Pope said, getting among the sheep, smelling of the sheep. But getting out with people and just being a loving and kind person, even in the smallest task, makes a huge difference.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. So, in other words, was it Bishop Sheen that said, Dave, something to the effect of there's one person that hates the Catholic Church and there's 2 million who hate what they think?
Yeah, he said there's not 100 people in the United States that hate the Catholic Church, but there's millions that hate what they think about the Catholic Church
yeah.
because they're not informed. And
right.
because mm-hmm. people are afraid to open their minds, I guess. I don't know. It's... once you do your due diligence, you'll find out that it's not so crazy as a lot of people say, becoming a crazy Catholic.
It's not.
You know?
It's not.
You know, Brandon Bryan, it sounds to me like with that last answer that you're talking about St. Francis.
Yes, Pope Francis. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, St. Francis of Assisi, his statement that you teach the gospel, but only use words when necessary.
Yes.
You preach yeah. the gospel through the way you reflect your faith to
mm-hmm.
others. And they learn by seeing how you are, and they think, we want some of that, whatever they've yeah. got.
And even when we fall, we're not perfect by any stretch
sure.
of the imagination. We still have those days. But even in that, by God's grace, when we get up and dust ourselves off and move on, even in that, that can be a witness.
Oh, yeah, sure, mm-hmm. absolutely.
Well, and the great thing, too, about the Catholic Church is we can feel God's forgiveness in the sacrament of reconciliation.
Oh, such a
and
blessing.
It's yeah. just it, such
yes,
a beautiful thing. You know, you walk
mm-hmm.
out of there and you feel so refreshed,
yep.
full of grace. And, I wish other people could share that. You know, Mark, we talked about one time if you break a neighbor's window, the neighbor can forgive you.
Right.
But yet you've still got to pay for that window.
That's right.
So I think that's one of the reasons that that we go to confession, we receive our penance, and we hear those words.
Absolutely.
Well, I think, Mark, maybe we're about ready to wrap it up. You've got any announcements for this week?
Well, just one, that effective July 1st, the Sunday Masses at Holy Family are now at 8 a.m. and 10 a.m.
Okay.
Current Mass from now on will be from 8 a.m., or I'm sorry, at 8 a.m. and at 10 a.m. on Sundays.
Yeah, if it's from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m.,
yeah, that's,
you're going to...
Yeah, well, yeah. I understand.
8 and 10 on Sundays, 4:30 on Saturdays, right?
That's it.
How about out in Mount Zion? Do you know what that schedule is yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
When Father Steve gets here, he's also going to have responsibility for St. Isidore and
right.
Bethany. So he's got a lot to work out down there.
Will you contact him and get all that information?
Why, sure.
You are the man. We want to thank Brian Kickle for being our guests tonight, the
Very
new
much
convert
so.
And the convert. Decatur's latest and newest Catholics to join the church this spring. We're so glad they could share some time and their thoughts with us
yes,
tonight. Mark, would you like to close with a memorare?
Sure.
All right.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thine intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy hear and answer me. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Good night, y'all.
Amen. We'll see you next week.
The Cradle and the Convert is a production of Decatur Catholic Radio.